Hey everybody, welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding episode 33, and on today's show, IFBB Pro and Contest Prep Specialist Gina Davis. So Dusty, bringing one of your friends on today.
Yes, it's been a long time coming here, and we've had a lot of people asking for a female perspective, but I wanted a female perspective that also had knowledge that could destroy most men in the game, so I found one.
Yeah, that was a good find. I know we talked about having her on before. We mentioned her on the show, with us giving Cluco good predictions at the last couple shows he's done. Her name has come up and I'm excited to talk to her. So do you want to just bring her on right now?
Right now, let's get it cranking.
And just remember everybody, like, subscribe, comment, and share. Help us out with the show. Okay, let's roll. Hey Gina, what's going on? Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding.
Hi, how are y'all?
I'm doing good. I haven't met you yet. So I'm Ron Parlow. Of course you know Dusty.
Yes. Hi Dusty. Hi Ron. Good to meet you, Ron. It's funny because I told Steve a while back that I was gonna be doing y'all's podcast, and he goes, Big Ron Bartlow. Like you say it. Like, by the way, I wanted to be like Fuad. How am I doing?
It's beautiful. Oh, I like great. This. Got That's the backdrop. You've got your logo.
Yeah.
Wet shirt. Bye bye.
No, it's good. It's good. And okay. and I like how we're kind of matchy match too. That's gonna look nice on the thumbnail.
Yeah.
All planned ahead.
Yeah, nobody gave Dusty the memo.
I just don't listen. I don't read memos.
Dusty's not the best at reading.
Bless his heart. How are y'all? How's everything with the craziness, man?
Yeah, well, I love the y'alls, by the way. There's always that. There's a certain Americans. There's a certain percentage of Americans that will hit you with y'alls. And yeah. It's music to my ears, to be honest, Gina. So you can do it the rest of the interview. Cool. Yeah, things are definitely crazy. I'm a gym owner, so yeah. Boom.
Now you own a personal studio for yourself.
Yeah, so now I have the biggest private gym I think most people could dream of.
Right.
Just a little bit of an overhead on it. Might have to rethink that. So I know Dusty's lucky to have a secret key and a retinal scan to get into a high security facility that he's able to train in.
Now that his eye's better and he's not like putting concrete in it and scratching his cornea or whatever the hell happened.
Every other week.
I was like, why does Dusty have a tick? Because I was watching.
He's
like,
a little bit, actually.
I was like, what the hell's going on with Dusty's eye?
It's crossed out.
I know. By the way, am I yelling? Because I feel like when you're at the gym and you have these in, you're like over talking. Am I doing all right?
Good.
Well, they say yeah, you got to hear it. And they say when you're on camera, you're supposed to go overboard a little bit.
It needs
to come through the screen. Yeah, you know. So we'll be fine. We'll be fine. If you move your hands a lot, it'll kind of match.
I got it. Okay.
So, so do you have anywhere to work out right now? Like, what's your situation?
Well, my situation's out there in my garage. I actually, within 24 hours, I posted this basically a rant, I guess, where I do that quite a bit, Dusty, as you know, but just a tad. I'm a spirited woman, but I remember posting, you know, I was just pissed in the beginning. I was like, I was pissed. It's like, you know, all of these sheep, and by sheep, I mean the hysteria, the alarmists, the crazy, you know, off the wall stuff. I mean, yeah, it's serious business going on here, but do we have to go that far with it? And so with all of that going on, I was just like, man, you know, now they shut my freaking gym down, you know, and I don't work for the gym. I train clients in that gym, and it's the best, you know, it's the number one gym in Oklahoma. It really is. And we have the best of the best room there. And I was just thinking, you know, okay, all of my trainers that are in there that I train are going to be displaced. My clients, I mean, what do we do here? So yeah. I posted this rant talking about, you know, way to go. Now you're affecting my freaking paycheck, right? And so, and I guess the powers that be saw that, and within 24 hours, I had three different people contact me for donations, saying that they would let me use their equipment to put into my gym, or I'm sorry, my garage. And I was like, wow, okay, because I have limited stuff, some cardio equipment and a few things here and there, but it wasn't equipped for a gym. I work in a gym, so I didn't need. And as you all, you know, you have something at your home, and I live an hour away from the city, Oklahoma City. I live way out in the country. And so there was no need for that. And within 24 hours, I had that, my garage equipped and ready to roll. And I kind of picked, you know, my pieces, and it's working so far. My clients are driving one way, an hour out here to see me, and have to deal with, you know, I live a half a mile on a dirt road, and so they're having to bring their, you know, SUVs or trucks out here, which is cool. I mean, some of them bring their G-Wagon. I'm like, are you freaking crazy?
Drive slow.
They're like, hey, what's it, you know, this is what it's built for. So
right,
it's, I've been like blown away and honored and blessed that, you know, what I do is important enough that people will drive their asses out here and done. And we do. And I sanitize it. I mean, that's, you know, that's my home. It's, this is my home. So if you're coming to my garage, that is part of my home. It's going to be clean. Everything's, you know, spotless out there. Except for an occasional, you know, dog paw, you know, walking through, which are huge. And then, so far, you know, things are going pretty well. But, and Oklahoma, I think, is kind of behind the curve a little bit because, you know, the bigger states were hit, and I think they got slammed into submission a little quicker than we did.
Yeah, so, New York and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen some of the states don't have high numbers at all yet.
I know.
Yeah.
And I mean, Oklahoma, I mean, they... Here in you may not know, Ron, but I'm from Texas, Houston, originally. Yeah. And so I'm a Texas girl and displaced to Oklahoma and love it here. The people here are outstanding, man. But they're all fanatics with the OU football.
Right.
Crazy. Like, I dare to wear maroon, burnt orange on game day. And they were going to lynch me. I was like, why are you wearing that color? I'm like, oh, shit, because it looks good on me. I like rust, you know, but anyway, they're like, looks like UT to me, you know, just whatever. So they're nuts here with that. But other than that, they'll give you the shirt off their back. They're incredible people. So that's why I stayed after I moved here. But so far, it seems like people are taking it seriously. And if y'all hear a snort or a snore right there.
Oh, we all have dogs. We all have dogs involved.
I know that Dusty has Harvey and Donna. Good job. And what do you have, Ron?
I have a dog. His name's Jedi.
Jedi.
And, and he's a Chorky, so he's half Yorkie, half Chihuahua.
What does that look like?
Well, he's in the other room right now. I sometimes bring him in as a guest, you know.
When we need a strong finish, we bring the dogs in. Like, we're off.
I'm just
like, shit, cute dog.
Jedi.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks like
there
that.
There we go.
He looks like that.
To your right, Ron. Perfect. There you go.
That is the perfect hybrid of a Yorkie and a Chihuahua. Good job.
Yeah. No, he's too cute. He gets away with murder. But, you know, I'm sure you know how that is. What do you have roaming around?
Oh.
Two small dogs.
I have Roman and Athena, and they're Rottweilers.
Oh, so, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Roman, let me see if I can get him up here.
Lap dogs.
Come here, baby. Come here.
Roman's a stud.
Come here, baby. Let me see if I can get him down there.
I got your baby talk to tiny dogs. There we go.
That's funny. Okay, yeah.
There they are.
Roman.
Everyone loves the dogs.
Oh, dentist. Dental work.
No, they're constantly with each other like that. All right, simmer down. Go.
So I got a question about having two big dogs living in Oklahoma. So I grew up on a farm in northern Alberta in Canada.
Okay.
So we had an outdoor dog, and he would chase the coyotes. He would keep the coyotes away.
Yes.
So what do they keep away down in Oklahoma?
Perverts.
People.
Right.
If they don't, toms, voyeurs, guys with telescopes.
Right. But if they don't do it, you know, every gun in my corner of every room will do it as well. So I think.
That was my next question was how fortified are you for the end of the world? You live in the country.
It's funny that you say that, Ron, because I've taken on a kind of rebellious stance, although I'm trying not to be insensitive to people that are really, you know, sick and dying from this stuff. But I mean, I was talking with my friends the other day. I was like, you got to know, man, I'm finding out just how much I detest government influence onto my being. And I mean, I'm almost sovereign citizen G over here. You know what I mean? Like, I really am. And I feel venom. Like when they were like trying to, you know, people are like, they're going to impose martial law. I was like, shit, bring that. You know?
Right.
It unnerves me, I guess. I don't know. But so far I'm kind of keeping it together, I guess, because my clients come out and keep me a little bit sane. But, you know, other than that, just, you know, training my clients, and then we'll go out and do a bunch of, I mean, Dusty, you probably follow my stories. I'm always fishing or mowing or doing some country shit out here. But anyway,
her life mirrors mine, Ron. It's very the same.
Right. It's exactly the same.
Hold on though, Dusty. I know where we do mirror each other besides in the gym, like going there, but your decor is like mine. I live, my house is a huge, it looks like a farmhouse outdoor, from the exterior, it looks like a farmhouse, but inside I'm very moderned out. Like,
there we go.
And lots of reds, blacks, grays, and not a lot of mirror stuff. Cause I think it can get kind of cheesy. And plus they go all up in smear.
Noses.
Yeah. So I'm not trying to clean that up all the time, but so I noticed that. I was like, look at Dusty with the, you know, Banksy, or I don't know what art you have on the wall, but I was like, go ahead, boy.
I like to make it look like I'm not a bachelor here all the time.
Okay.
People come in, they get a little surprised. What the hell is going on? But they don't know I had someone else help me do that. But that's
Dusty says he has the cleaners come over, but what he doesn't tell people is they're cleaners and they're real estate set dressers.
It's very, very key.
Cheating.
So they clean and then they make the place look like a show home for them, and they set it up, and there's always new props. It'd be like a new bowl of fruit. It'd be like a new plant that he didn't even buy. He just comes home and there's a plant. He's like, oh, I guess I got a plant this week, you know?
Yeah, I painted that. It was mine.
It's all me.
That's the poser, man. I never guess.
I fix everything with one toolbox. It's a check and a pen. And I can fix anything.
That's good.
I'm not quite where Dusty is. I'll invest an hour. I have 1 hour limit. I'll invest 1 hour with the tools. And if I don't make some serious progress and figure out what's wrong, then I just make the phone call.
What you need to do is consult YouTube, man. The shit out here, like, I've made these dog doors, and they're huge because my dogs have to get through them. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
I know, it's awesome.
You can build a damn house using YouTube.
I took my dishwasher or my washing machine apart. I took the back off my washing machine, got under it with a little flashlight. I could barely fit my head in there.
Imagine him in there.
Yeah. And I got under. Yeah, I fixed it.
Anything that's electrical, I'll defer to the professionals. But
went and bought the new part. I put it in and everything. Yeah,
and it worked. And you're like,
oh man, you know what? I think it was equal to the first time I deadlifted 600 for how manly I felt.
Okay.
It's like there was a real like fucking manly feeling about that. I stood up and I like fucking popped my chest up. I was like, and I'm watching the washing machine wash the clothes. I'm like, fucking, you know.
I did that.
Emily's like, relax.
You may know it, but Dusty, we call that the Banny Rooster syndrome. You walk around with your chest all puffed up. You know what I mean?
He was like that for like 2 weeks. Every time I saw him on the show, I'm like, what are you doing? I fixed a washer.
Fixed my washing machine, man. I'm a self-sufficient man.
That's right, damn it. Love it. No, I didn't know you grew up on a farm. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Northern Alberta grain farm. So,
it was so funny, too, because whenever I'd watched y'all's podcast, because I'm just getting into this podcast business, like listening, and I'm loving it. I prefer the video realm of it.
Right.
Than
right.
Personally, because I'm extremely visual. I need to see the nuances and how people, I need to see what Dusty looks like, make sure that mutant is centered perfectly over his eyes. Yeah, I know. It's symmetry. And I need to see, you know, I need to see the nuances of how people emote. So whenever I like this better.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's appreciated by a lot of people, especially now, because we do so much unemotional, non-visual communication with texting and messaging.
Right.
And, you know, like they talk about how there's an entire generation of kids that don't know how to read facial expressions now because they haven't. Nice. There you go. There you go. Make sure it's always on the outside, right?
You got it.
Yeah, this is an entire generation of kids that can't read facial expressions as well. Because they're not talking to their friends as much. They're standing with their friends, but they're on their phones.
Right.
And so everything is done with emoticons and exclamation marks. And then when they talk to someone, they don't, apparently, I guess it's, there's some data that they're not as good at recognizing like the little things, you know, like when someone looks like hesitant or whatever, and it's starting to become like they think it might be a bit of a problem, obviously.
Yeah, it's bordering on like a disability or
right. Yeah. And then so when we watch a podcast, you know, like when I watch like, you know, Fuad and Luke rant about nonsense or whatever, it's one thing to listen. Like I enjoy listening to podcasts, but I like watching them better.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Luke, you know what I mean? that accent's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just everything just seems so much more intelligent when you listen to him. And
that's the word you pick. Okay.
Especially with some of the things that Luke says.
No, it's true because he came up.
Is that intelligent and anal in the same comment? I mean, what's going on right now?
It's funny because, and he can get away with shit too.
I just need the timestamp for when Dusty said the word anal. 27.
Oh.
Okay. Sorry, we like to keep track of the important landmarks in the episode.
Okay.
Things that people will be like, oh, I should see what the hell is going on right there. Of course, Luke's involved. Smart Luke was involved on this one. He's going to love this.
He's not even here. He got in on it.
Yeah. He's got little baby Yorkie too, right?
Yes, he does.
Pay attention to dogs, man. I like dogs better than humans. But what cracks me up is Luke can get away with something with that silly accent. That a lot of people can't. The only person that calls Steve Steven is his wife. And he came up to Steve at the Arnold and he was like, hello, Steven. I was like, who the fuck are you? You know, I don't even call him that. And I made him bleed. What are you thinking? He seems fun. He seems really fun and respectful, which I appreciate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Steve. He, you know, obviously this was, you know, the last year was, you know, Steve's, you know, best year ever, if you would agree, obviously, yes, with some of the placings at the O and the Arnold. And me and Dusty have, you know, been talking about him, like when we did our Olympia predictions, we both had, him up there in the top group. And when we did our Arnold predictions, we both had him fourth.
Mm-hmm. And, nailed it.
Good.
So, yeah, I just, you know, how do you feel? Like, how long have you worked with Steve now? It's been 3 or 4 years.
It's been, it was May 2017. Time out, just a second.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like the extra sound. I thought that was you.
Yeah.
There we go.
You need to eat before these shows. I can hear your stomach.
Okay.
Should call a time out. I don't know how that works.
We don't edit that.
I just walk away. Yeah, we just, that stays. The timeout, but it stays.
Yeah. No, I do, because the problem is what you guys don't know is Roman still has his nuts. So he's coming into his own right now and he's humping everything. And poor thing is just getting brutalized. She actually has been fixed, but he still humps the hell out of her. And so that was about to occur over here. She gets pissed off and rips his ass because she's like, get off me. But in essence, I think it's like he's making her stronger because she's like trying to get him off and she's like basically squatting him every day. So anyway, I'm cool with it. But anyway, y'all,
that's how Emily's staying in shape right now.
Just
me chasing her around the house, right?
I think she is very pretty, by the way. I saw y'all's pictures and I think she has a really good combo, like phenotype. Like I love dark hair and light eyes. Oh. And she's got dark hair and blue eyes, it looks like in pictures with you guys, right?
You're kind of greeny, yeah.
Okay, you need to know your girl's eye color.
Yeah, but she even says that.
Okay, say greeny.
You quoted that.
Yeah, that's a quote.
She's a pretty girl, so good job.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know, I found her at a vulnerable time in her life, and, you know, she really needed someone to help her out, and it's just sort of worked out for me.
Okay. Ron and I have always specialized in being the reacher in the relationship. There's always a reacher and a settler.
Yeah.
And we reach, and we find these poor girls that settle, and it just works.
Yeah. Okay. No, back to Steve. Okay, you asked, when did I start? 2017.
Yeah, and how did you guys start, actually?
17.
Okay. Backstory on that being, we were both from Texas. I had, you know, whenever I was competing, I would see him here and there. I was just about to phase out, start, you know, going into phasing out of bodybuilding in total for myself. And he was really coming on. And I remember when I would see him backstage or at expos or whatever, I just always remember thinking, that guy has something. And beyond all of that, you know, the stage that I've seen him on stage and his physique, I mean, he just always seemed like he had untapped potential. Mm-hmm. And I just thought he was enormous, first of all, which was incredible because a lot of people, you know, you see these bodybuilders in magazines and what have you, and more times than not, you'll hear, man, I saw them at the expo and they weren't as big as I thought they'd be. You know what I mean? Right. Well, Steve has that opposite effect. he looks big. Yeah, he looks. And then you see him in person, you're like, what the hell is that? Right, he has this mass and he carries it in a way that he just eclipses people. And I just always thought that was, I just always thought he had untapped potential, number one, as a fellow competitor. I hadn't even started truly diving into my contest coaching at that point. But I remember thinking he has something. I just always kept my eye on him, so to speak. And not even in a weird sense, like, ooh, he's hot or whatever. He's a good looking guy. But
he's all right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that at all. But whenever I would speak with him, there was he was genuine. There's authenticity about him that I appreciated. He looked me in the eye, which is really cool. I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of people that when you talk to him, they're like looking around. It's like, I'm right here, you know? So,
or when you meet them and they shake your hand, but they don't look at you.
I don't like that. That's
right away. Like they're behind the eight ball at that point.
Right. Yeah. You just proved yourself. Right. So
a hard start.
But I mean, you got to remember I was raised by a country guy. I mean, he was a man, you know? And, so whenever I'd meet him, he was always very nice and kind and he was genuine with it. You could tell he wasn't faking shit and he didn't need to. He just had that thing. And to this day, he still is that nice guy. Mm-hmm. And so that's back then. That's whenever I just kind of was watching him. I was like, man, he's got potential. Well, then through the years, I remember I was watching, it was the Arnold. And it was 15 or, oh, no. When was it? It was 2016, 15, I believe. And I was in my living room and I was watching him and they announced him and he came out and I just remember screaming at my TV, like screaming at it, like, cause I was streaming it up on my TV and I was like, come on, Steve, you know, like just, I was trying to will it to him. Mm-hmm. All these years I'd watched him and he was coming on, but I just kept thinking, man, just more, more. And so anyway, then I started training a competitor in Dallas. He was a pro and I would go down to Destination. Are y'all?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've been there. Been there many times.
Destination and Extreme Iron Pro. And I would go down there and I would train this particular competitor. And little did I know that Steve was over watching me. So I was watching him all these years and we knew of each other. And then he was watching me just absolutely brutalize this guy in the gym. And But intelligently, I mean, because the way I even have a program, it's called IntelliCore. It's intelligent hardcore.
Right. Okay.
Right. So
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. And so what I was doing was, and I was, it was also, you could watch this guy, you know, start at the beginning of his workout looking a certain way. And by the end of it, looked like he had gained 20 pounds from just the swelling and the pump and the sequencing and everything done right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that Steve was like, okay, I'm watching you now, girlfriend. And so then not far after that, he hit me up because I posted a video, a routine choreography, because I do all of it, all mm-hmm. of it, training, nutrition, protocol, suggestions.
Well, I do.
Yeah. And then choreography. And then if you're a girl or if you're so inclined, I'll do your makeup at the end too, if you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just a one-stop shop with me. And so with that said, you know, he would, he hit me up on, I believe it was Instagram. Yeah. And he says, I need you to come work on my posing. And I was like, Steve, you know, of course, he was very nice. Said, hey, G, how you been? Blah, blah, blah. Need you to come work on my choreography and posing. And I was like, I'm your girl. I got you. And then I came down. And whenever I came down, he was like, I'd also like for you to take me through a workout. I was like, oh, come to mama. I mean, you, I got you. And so anyway, we our very first time training was at Extreme Iron Pro. Y'all know that one, right?
Yep. Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't been there though yet.
It's a cool. It's I like it. It has really cool equipment, but it's not. It doesn't have that dungeon like grimy feel that Destination does. I like it, but anyway. So I said okay. He goes, "What do you want to train?" I was like, "Oh, that'll be legs."
That's obvious.
Yeah. So we did it, and I didn't know. I'm not used to a video crew following me around while I'm training someone, but he was putting something together for his site or what have you. And so this guy was on the left watching, and then some of his previous training partners were there as well. And people that had seen him, you know, I mean, when he walks in the gym, everybody stops. And, you know, he is their local celebrity there. And I didn't care about that. I was just basically, I told the video guy, just don't get in my way. I'm not a bitch, but I was like, don't get in my way. I got a job to do here. I will move out of your way because I don't want to be in this footage, but I got to do what I got to do. Okay. So we did it. And I'd say about 3/4 into the workout, he was on a knee with a bucket. Mm-hmm. And afterwards openly expressed, and that's one thing I love about Steve. He'll give you credit when it's due. He didn't hold back or has humility, but I mean, he doesn't go, oh yeah, that was piece of cake. You know what I mean? No,
yeah.
He said, and I think, it was on Instagram. He posted a picture, from the video footage and he says, absolute in all the years of training, the most brutal leg workout I've ever had. And I was like, yes, that's what you need. That's right. What you need. All of that mass needs this. And so, and then beyond that, so I became his trainer at that point and just trainer. That's it. And cause he was still with Farah at that time. And then I'd say, almost a year into that, it was time for the Arnold. And George, he was really, really sick, really sick. And I feel that Steve felt that he felt bad because he's a genuinely good guy about sending him pictures and going, what do I eat next? What do I do next? Right. Whenever he's having surgeries and trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
And so Steve just felt like, and in no way, because Steve held on for a long time with him with the illness, but in no way did he go, oh, hell, he's sick. I got to find somebody. Help me.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't do this to him. He needs to focus on getting better because, you know, people need to remember Steve was a paramedic, firefighter, paramedic. He knows what the body goes through more than the average person. So he was like, he asked me to come to the Arnold that year when George was with him. And he was like, I just want you to watch. And so I kind of felt like I was an understudy. Yeah. And so I was like, sure. Yeah, I'm there. And so I went and I just kind of sat in the background and watched. And as the plays came in and the calls were made on what to do with his physique, I would watch his physique. And, you know, as it would, as we were loading and what have you, and I just kind of sat over and took my little notes and compared them to what I would have done. And then the end of that, he did really well. He got fifth that year and at the Arnold. And then beyond that, I think George was getting even, you know, just really sick. And whenever his mom, y'all know his mom is awesome. Yeah. Whenever they saw George, they were taken aback at how bad he looked. And she was like, they weren't sure he was going to make it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I don't know about this. It was scary all the way around. And so as the calls were being made, he would ask me my opinion. He was smart about it. And he says, before he told me things, I would tell him what I would do, and they would match or be in a better position for his physiology. And so it just felt like to him that I was showing that I could marry our training with the nutrition and with the dial-in when it really counts. Right. And so I impressed him at that time. And okay. So then beyond that, he took me on, called me one night and said, you know, the Kuklo family has had a meeting and we want you to join us. And I was like, I'm there, man. I've been waiting for this, just quietly. And so from there on, we went on and he won the Indy twice and has bettered his placing at the Olympia every time. And each year he just comes in better and better and better. You know, a process of getting to know someone's physique, of course you're going to get better. Not to mention his muscle maturity. He's still a relatively young guy in the game, even though he's been training a long time. And so, and I think we're like-minded in that he's not afraid to go hard. I mean, the guy, you'll see him any given day, 3 weeks out, doing ridiculous amounts of weight. You know, not Hanshaw, you know, rows or anything. And he'll go. He'll go.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
I remember when I first, you know, saw Steve, and it was back around 2000, 2001, when him and Justin were training together, and they were doing all like the troponin stuff, you know, troponin nutrition stuff, right? So they're doing the kind of the real dog crap, heavy duty stuff. And I remember they were like squatting 6 plates for 8 and then 4 plates for 20 and, you know, and Steve was just like a kid, and he's doing like, you know, and you gotta remember back in 2000, anyone that put 6 plates on a hack squat was like a lot of weight. I remember, I was there. I remember seeing someone put 6 plates on a hack and going, holy shit, that's, and they were the first guys doing it on YouTube, you know? And that's like, I legitimately remember thinking, oh fuck, if guys are putting 6 plates on the hack, that means I have to put 6 plates on the hack. Like, if that's where this is going, you know? And then like right away I was putting 6 plates on the hack. Like, you know how, that's just how it works. You know, people get inspired to kind of push what they thought was maybe dangerous before or whatever. And I was as hardcore as they could possibly come already.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just that back then, like,
you're enormous too. So,
right, you know,
but, I think you realized you could do it.
Yeah. And, you know, like back in 2000, you know, like if you watch like Dorian's video now,
yeah,
his poundages aren't insane. Like he does the four plate incline, but he's got a spot and he does like three plates and a 35 on the hammer flat. He does like 110 pound dumbbells for flies. Like Dusty, I've done them before. Mm-hmm. So Dorian's poundages at the time were heavy. But by 2000, they were starting to be eclipsed by a lot of guys in the gym. And like the Kluko and Justin videos were part of that. And it was just that next step up, you know, like Dorian raised the bar in the gym. And then like all of a sudden when YouTube came, or not YouTube, but like the message boards and people posting videos, and then it went up another bar and they were part of that. And Steve was just like, he was like a 20-year-old kid. I don't even fucking remember. But it was no surprise that, like, you know, within a couple of years, I'm like opening the mags and they're like Junior USAs or whatever. And it's Steve. I'm like, oh, fuck this kid. Okay. I remember that. This guy, of course.
Yeah.
You know?
He was putting in his work in the gym to back that up.
Yeah.
I think that whenever we got together in the training aspect, I remember thinking I hate to say it like this, but it's like, I think that there's an empirical way of going about coaching people, but there's also, there's gifts therein. And my gift, so to speak, is to look at a physique and kind of know, not Crocodile Dundee, but I just kind of know what that body needs.
The Crocodile Dundee of bodybuilding.
That's right.
There you go. That's the title of
Timestamp.
I just remember looking at him the very first time that we went through a posing session. I remember thinking, this guy needs to go back to what he used to do.
Yep.
He can do that. And I think that, and by no fault of his own, I think just a matter of time and gyms and different machines and so forth coming in, I think he got into more... more of that and kind of got away from what was his bread and butter. And also I'm very into genetics, which is, this is the double helix. This is my logo is that. It's the double helix with the rocket. Like I take genetics and I push them on. So that with that said, I remember thinking I needed to know what his mom and dad looked like. I needed to know ancestry and heritage. And I'm really big on my clients getting the 23andMe and knowing their genetic. I love that. And so also, I mean, we'll get into this later when we talk about the female PEDs. Yeah. I'm also, I mean, blood work is imperative. But with that said, I remember meeting his mom and dad. Like I told him to describe them to me. And then whenever I met them, I was like, well, shit, there it is. His mom is built like a brick shit house. I mean, she is short and her calves, he got them from her. Okay. Right. She's got calves that any female, a guy, a man would die for. She's short. She's stacked. His dad is tall. So he's got all the good parts, kind of like your dog. Jedi.
Yes.
He got all of that. And so I realized when I met them and I talked with Jerry, which is his mom, tell me about your mom and dad. And her dad was this Polish just powerhouse as well. She goes, oh, it was my dad. You know, her accent is very Detroit. And oh, my dad, he gets it all. Okay. So when I knew that, I knew that I couldn't break this guy. I knew I couldn't. And I know you're sitting kind of looking at me going, what are you talking about, female breaking or whatever? And just because how I, when I trained, when I was competing, was very, very hardcore. And so I have just this much sadist in me.
Yep.
But I have a lot of intelligence as well when it comes to that. So I mirror those or marry those together. And I will push you farther than you ever been pushed. And that's on my weight belt and everything, that which kills you minus one. Right. And that was from a mentor of mine would say that. And that is how we train. You will go all the way there and be seeing lights and shit. And then when you're done, I'm like someone just ran over you, but you feel accomplished and like you've been through something and you rose above it. So, and you know, the next time, kind of like you said, whenever you got on that hack squat with the six plates, check it off. Done it.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you know, by how I would train him, I was like, I'm going to take him there. And I wasn't scared of him in terms of, or I wasn't intimidated by him, and I wasn't a fangirling or any of that. He was my client at that point. Yeah. So I know your parents, I know your genetic makeup, I know your background, I know your profile, I know everything that's going on with your body. And like, gone in 60 seconds, let's go. It's on.
So- taking you back to that, just curious, because, you know, I love just hearing just a rough breakdown, like the kind of 30-second version, you know, the leg workout you put him through. You're like, this is my chance to show him how much I can do. Mm-hmm. And I have one leg workout to do it. Do you remember what you did?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, of course you do, because I would.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because in my IntelliCore programming, that's one of them. I believe it's GF3 and it's GForce 3. And it's a crescendo is what it is. And he probably, when he watches this, is going to go, ugh, when he hears that, because it was ridiculous. Crescendoing. What I did is I took one exercise, which just happened to be the free bar back squat. Mm-hmm. Not the Smith machine. Yeah. So I took that, and then I would have him do one, you know, of course, warm up. And then he would do one set there, and I'll be quick, Ron. He'll do one set there, and then the next go around, he would do free bar back squat, lying leg curls. Then come back to the original. The main thing is go back to where you started and you add an exercise. And then you have a time amount to rest in between. And then when you get up to five, max six exercises that you have put in succession, you go back to the original once again and you drop set that. Second one, drop set that. So you go through five to six exercises, drop setting them after you have stacked them onto each other and accumulated them throughout.
So it's like you slowly build a giant set.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like squats, curls, and then squats, curls, hacks, squats, curls, hacks, lunges, squats, curls, hacks, lunges, leg press. And you, once you get to the five set giant set, mm-hmm. then you do a drop set all the way through.
You got it. And it's five sets of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. So, and I am a stickler for that count. Don't miss your count. If I'm on 13, somebody's getting yelled at. You get your it's 10 seconds for a fucking reason. Let's go.
Right.
And and he did it. And at the end of it, he looked at me. There's actually a picture. I'm going to find it for you guys. I'll send it to you, Dusty. It's a picture where he's on the floor on one knee because he's so prideful, he's not going to lay down. And he's got one knee and there's a bucket in front of him and he's got his cap pulled up and he's looking up at me like, are you fucking crazy? Like, his
sick bitch.
Not sure. Wow. Okay. But it was a moment. And so that worked. And he said he was sore. It was just, it was a beautiful thing.
I'm sore.
Oh, right now. Right.
Right. I feel like I did a week's worth of cardio listening to that story.
I know. It definitely turns an anaerobic workout into an aerobic one, but
yeah.
He did really, really good. And he is awesome to train. I mean, awesome. He's a hell of a guy to spot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm behind him, like lateral raises, kind of on my toes, looking to see things. And then, you know, trying to help. I'm like, and, you know, of course, I'll need to recruit some people because I only spot 20%. I don't know about you guys, but mm-hmm. if I'm having to spot more than 20% or if you're trying to get a force negative, you need to ask the big guy in the corner to come help you because I'm not going to spot that much.
Right.
And, yeah. So sometimes that stuff just gets too dangerous, too. It's like there's that like that danger factor where it's like, OK, we're dealing with $1 million body here.
You got it.
You know, like that factors in, you know, it's. Yeah, the training intensity thing has always been like the bottom line for me and Dusty. I think that's why Dusty and I always got along so well was mm-hmm. just, you know, there's a million different ways to destroy something, but I like to be efficient about it. So it all kind of comes back to like, don't waste my time. you know, the whole thing, I'm sure you've done it a million times where you take someone, you take them through a workout. Maybe the workout happens to be like the other day I took someone through a 55 minute workout and they were like, well, I normally train for 2 hours. Right. You know? And then like 55 minutes later, they were just fucked, like fucked, you know? And so that's always been the main thing for me. You know, I love that shit. If, if there's a harder way to do something, want to try it out, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah, you know, I was really looking forward to listening to you talk as well, because it's about and out.
Yeah. And, oh yeah.
And, yeah. Out and I about. Love that you guys think that other people have accents.
Yours is up in your nose a little bit, Bestie.
No, they do that when you go to like England. You'll walk in and talk and they'll go, oh, that accent. I'm like,
yeah, Dusty has a little bit of Scottsdale where,
that's,
you know,
slang. They it's are, not an accent.
They are better than us, you know? And you have to remember, you know, that it's cleaner, nicer, and newer there, and everyone's happy. And it's like the new Hollywood, you know, everyone's
that's
fleeing.
That's how we roll around here. It's some fancy shit.
I'm a grungy Southern girl, so.
Yeah, they've been trying to kick me out since I got here.
My trash over here.
So I'd say they keep trying to throw me out. I don't know how I've stayed. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. He gets his manicures and his pedicures.
I think
and
there's some sort of a quota they have to do where they bring someone like me and they're like, let him stay.
Graphics on the census.
Let him stay. You're going to throw off the voting.
We need Scottsdale to have some diversity.
I've never been to Scottsdale, but I've heard it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
It is. It's fancy, but... it's a little fraudulent, so that's the part you got to get used to.
Yeah,
it's not really your that part's not really your thing, you know.
And that's another thing too. You know, people are like, okay, why the hell are you hiding out in Oklahoma? I mean, if your training is so good and intense and what have you, and your methods are good, why don't you expand? Why don't you go? And I had that opportunity. And in 2004, when I turned pro, I was having people hit me up to move out to LA, maybe New York, and be the next Corey Everson. And I'm just like, I had no desire, none, right, to do that. I kind of like to remain in anonymity a bit. And
right,
more than anything, I like to promote intelligent hardcore training. And this, right, and don't get me started on the Instagram shit and the reality of all that. But I prefer for people to train like you guys do, like I did, you know. And I mean, Dusty, shit, you've been on my radar screen forever watching you. And then most recently, whenever you were doing some things, I was just like, this guy, I love his training. So then I would upload, and you're not going to catch me uploading or reposting right, yeah, people's stuff hardly at all, because I'm not that impressed.
Right.
And I would repost his stuff and have utilized some of his workouts. And
we did some trading there for a little while.
Yeah, we did.
I posted one. She was like, that's a great one, but try this. I'm in the gym, like, texting her. I'm like, I think I'm fucking it up. I send her a video. Is this right? Yeah. I'm like, my body doesn't do that. How do we do this?
And also, well, you're a big old boy, so it's hard to get your shoulders back like that. But, I mean, whenever I see that, automatically you got street cred with me. You got respect. And so many times, like, whenever you talk about the training that we do, and in this day and age when everybody, it's like, want it right now. It's got to happen now. And, you know, anybody would tell you it's a marathon, not a sprint. And everybody's been doing it for so long that in this game, for me, I prefer for it to be a game of longevity. Yes. Right. Do you want to achieve greatness? Yes. Do you want to be a freak? Yes, do you want to be, you know, admired and, you know, self-actualized and accomplished? Yes, you want all that, but you want to fucking live too. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to have longevity. You want to be able to ambulate and be functional in your older years. Yeah. And, you know, people, it's so funny that, you know, Steve is, you know, the fourth baddest bodybuilder in the world now. Mm-hmm. And if you guys only knew, and I'm not going to speak on it, but if you guys only knew what little that guy does,
it would be
your effing mind.
Yeah, and we always talk about that.
That's like a standpoint. That's something we wanted to touch on with you, is because you're so into the training. And I feel like we jam it down people's throats on purpose, because essentially what we try to do is bring on experts.
Yes.
And then it's one of those things where the experts, who all have different styles, but agree on one thing, which is the foundation. You know, I mean, how many people I have come in and or speak to or online, and they're sending questions. I'm like, send me one video of one working set. I don't care what it is.
Ooh, that's good.
And they send it to me. I'm like, you don't know how to train.
Right.
You stopped. I didn't even, you hadn't even hit like the point of almost need. Like, I had a couple people and I wasn't being an ass. And one of them was a client. He tagged me in a video and I watched it, and I literally texted him. I said, was that a warm up?
Oh, shit. I've said that before.
Because I didn't know, because it was so early. I was like, was I supposed to, like, did you want me to watch the form? Like, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Yeah, I have to double check.
Is this a form video or like a question video?
And it was funny because he was so happy after he stopped crying, because he was like, holy shit. And then I told him, because he was like, well, how many do you think I had? I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 more.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? I'm like, fuck, dude, it wasn't even, you weren't even tired. Like, you weren't even winded yet, let alone exhausted. So it's like, we just push that, because, as you know, and something we want to talk about primarily on the female side, but across the board, is everyone's got this obsession with the cycle and the stack and the this and the that. And I remember having a conversation with Aceto, and Ron knows the story. It's someone else that we know, but, Chris was like, do you think your gear is real? Yeah. And he's like, I don't know. And he goes, well, do you have anything in your house that you know is real? He's like, yeah, I have this. Okay, dump everything else. Take 300 milligrams of that. Let's see what you look like in 2 weeks. Like 300 milligrams for a week, for 2 weeks. He comes back, he goes, all right, that'll do. Now let's get back to training.
Yeah, like, he got his pro card.
Yeah, he turned pro on the only item he had that he knew was real.
Because yeah, 300 megs of pro
matter.
The guy said I have real prop, and I have like 100 real Anavar.
That'll work.
So he did 300 megs of prop, and then he threw in like 100 real Anavar, and that was it. And he won his pro card.
Outstanding. That's good. You know,
everything else was shit.
Right. Which is the majority of it these days. Yeah. And I'll get to the females in a minute, but I want to say this about the training. There's that meme out there, and this is, I love memes that are clever, but this is, it has the Joker on it, and I posted it, and it said the Heath Ledger Joker. Yep. And he says, you see in their last reps, athletes show you who they really are.
Right.
And God dang, I love that. That resonates with me so much, because if you drop, and I'm not a militant trainer. I'm not going to be, you fucking pussy. Yeah, I'm not. I don't do that. But if someone stops early before I know that, if they stop before I know where they could have gone, I will get in their face. And I am like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
What did you just do right there? And just that, it's almost a humiliation of disappointment, not, you know, screaming at them.
No, for sure.
Right. And it seems to work. And then, you know, of course, they come back and they know not to do that again. And then they take it there. It's amazing. So it's cool to see that. But
I think a lot of people realize, though, is you can't get a set back.
Yes.
Like, I tell people that all the time. Like, that set is forever gone.
It's gone.
Like, you can do the next one really well, but that one is fucking gone.
Mm-hmm. And that could have been the one, you know. And then, of course, some of my bodybuilding guys, I'll be like, that's awesome that you just put those dumbbells down on those walking lunges, because my bikini girl or my figure girl just did more than that for more reps than you just did. So I hope you like fourth place, you know.
Oh, I think your camera got turned off, Gina.
What happened?
I think we lost your camera.
You're gone.
There we go. Hi.
Okay. They don't want to watch it with just us. That's terrible.
Okay. Anyway, so with that said, if you get to them, and you got to know, you know, who you're talking to and what their triggers are and whatever, and then just step on from. But with that said, Chris Aceto, side note, he was doing an interview with Steve at the Arnold, and he called me a chick.
I didn't even see it.
He was awesome. Steve, you know, and he kind of sounds like Elmer Fudd to me just a little bit when he speaks. And so he does. I mean, think about hunting web cottontails. I can't do
it. Does that new, kind of a quiet, like, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Damn, yeah, whatever. Anyway, that's what he reminds me of. But anyway, I was just like, he was like, yeah, Steven, who's, and your trainer? And he's like, yeah, this is crazy. I mean, you're being trained by a chick. Right. And he's like, fuck you, Chris. Wash your hair. Anyway, with that said, I just thought that was funny. I'm a chick. But anyway, on to females. I will tell you that I am appalled at the things that I hear females are on. Mm-hmm, disbelief.
Yeah.
Disbelief. And by the way, someone who is equally as smart on this as I am, I believe, but is actually more vocal about it is Jamie Pender. I'm not sure if
you've had her on. I've worked out with Jamie.
Yeah, I would love.
I've trained with her.
That girl is just blasting it. She is speaking the truth on this stuff. And Jamie, I would say, is more, I think that she can speak on it even more so than I can because of some of the things I know that she has openly said she's done that I even haven't. So right. Can speak on it empirically and looking at it by watching things through females. Mm-hmm. But there's some things that she's done. I can't speak on what it did to me. Jamie can. And I appreciate her candor in all of this. And it needs to be said, you know, especially with the introduction of female bodybuilding again.
Well, I think the one thing that I wanted to make sure that you kind of covered, too, is it's really obvious. And I mean, still cover that on the bodybuilding. It's obvious on the physique. But what's throwing me off now is it's going all the way down.
I mean
bikini girls and this and that, and I think, you know, what you and I have spoken about before is number one, like, you know, do a timeline of what your face looks like for 5 years.
Perfect. Yes.
Or your hairline, or, you know, and something that I have taken some heat from the last episode, but I said out loud was, well, the thing about our industry that sucks is if one of the top level girls calls you on the phone, you're going to have to ask who it is because her voice won't tell you.
Right.
Because they're all the same within reason. You know what I'm saying? And I think that I just find that somewhere along the line, and bodybuilders do this too, where we've had this conversation with Johnny before, where I think a lot of us have had a line in our head of what we were willing to do.
Right.
And when you get into it, you go a little past it. Mm-hmm. I've done things that I was like, I was definitely not. You know, I mean, and things I've thrown back away, but like insulin was something I was never going to do.
Right. Good.
Never going to do insulin. Did it because I thought I needed it, found out it wasn't magic and got rid of it. So that was no big deal. But point being is we do that. I'm watching the females do that, but with no thoughts of what's going to, doesn't change.
There's more consequence, you know, like I was. Yeah, I was saying one of my favorite quotes is that when women use steroids and they're worried about the side effects, but what they need to reconsider is that those aren't side effects. Those are the effects. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not a side effect that it changes things. It's the effect. It's their purpose.
Right.
You know?
It has to be very... one of you said that there was something you wanted me to talk about for sure. What was it, Dusty?
Well, just the fact that that it's coming up. I'm watching. We have all the levels of people are kind of like going up and up. Like I'm watching the bikini girls become what figure girls used to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Like entry level bikini. Right. Entry level bikini is now using the drugs that the figure girls at the Nationals used to use.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. It's the hierarchy of things. We're seeing that trickle down effect, and I can't blame anything but, you know, just a natural evolution of who we are, but also, you know, social media, because they're seeing that instant like they're seeing these metamorphosis things that are going on the online, and they're like, I'm not seeing my progression happen that quickly, so what can I do? And I mean, not talking shit on boyfriends and husbands out there, but I can say that steroid and anabolic and androgenic, by that matter, abuse, a lot of time can lend itself to guys giving advice to females. They're like a boyfriend giving his female advice on what he would do or what he has done and what he has been advised on his male physiology.
Right. And
so then what happens there is play the what if game all the way out. What if she does follow that? What if she is vulnerable enough to do that, not do her due diligence and research and figure out what is right for her body and what's not? And then once again, there's abuse and there's use. Mm-hmm. And there's a place for it in females, fitness, physique, all of that realm. There's a place for use, but abuse has no place. And so what can happen, and I have personally seen, because I was a heavyweight bodybuilder. I was a heavyweight when I started and ended. I was always girl, always. And what I've seen throughout the years is, it's so funny because I went to check in my very first nationals, and you know, we always wore our little track suits. Mine was velour.
And right, it was of course. Yeah. Gangster.
Yeah. And anyway, so I walked up and I remember I was going back and they were telling me what division, and they're like, they looked up and they said figure. And I was like, no, shoulder. And they're right. Like, oh, okay. And I remember back then it was Muscle Mayhem forums and things where we didn't have social media. It was like maybe MySpace. I don't even know.
I was on Mayhem. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and we would go on there, and you were lucky if you got your picture of your progress in one of the forums. But I remember reading something that cracked me up. I went to weigh in, and I remember they write up, and I think it was Steve Winterstrom or somebody said, Big Gina Davis from Texas, checked in, and by the looks of her face, it doesn't look like she's in condition. I was like, wow, because they were so used to seeing the shredded Skeletor face on the females and didn't have that. And then, you know, the following day, freaking won the whole damn thing. So what you got? You know what I mean?
With that did you have the Jay Cutler face where he still looks like a fully off-season bodybuilder, but he's got shredded glutes?
I would say it was, yeah, I mean, it didn't. It wasn't as gaunt and sunk in, because I always had a naturally rounder face. So that would sink in, and I didn't do, you know, things like Winstrol that can really make your the fat in your face get really low. You could tell there's certain things that females will do, and you're like, Winstrol face, test voice, primo, whatever. I mean, you could tell. You know,
Deca. I really like it when I have Winstrol face. I'm a big fan.
You do?
Well, everyone, I think with me anyways, I would always like stare in the mirror and I'd be like, I want my face to be so shredded that when I show up in my tracksuit, everyone's like, oh, fuck. That's how I used to think, right? So I would like, I wanted my face to be just disgusting looking, because I thought that would be like a good.
I can see that with you because you're a big guy, like a real large man. So a large man to have. Yeah. That face, he's put in the work. So I get that. But, you know, with that said, there are ways to get this done. All the females out there need to hear this. If you were to take whatever, your boyfriend, husband, or an unethical coach, prescribes a particular, Harvey, go get Donna. If he prescribes a particular protocol for you and you do it, and then this day and age, you don't know if you're getting real stuff or not. Anavar's D-ball, you know, Primo's faked out the Yang, it's testosterone, whatever. So with all of that happening, next thing you know, your voice starts to thicken or your voice starts to deepen. You're having more facial hair, a little fuzzier. Your skin is breaking out. You're getting a weird jawline. you know, that weird muscle pad that happens underneath here on females. And then, you know, a decent byproduct is your clit grows. And so then you've got that. Well, then the boyfriend's loving that. Your libido's sky high. Next thing you know, you're looking more and more and more virile and masculine. And then what happens? Your boyfriend's like, shit, girl. Yeah, I'm good. He moves on.
Yep.
And then you're left with all of that. And then what do you do then? I mean, back in whenever I competed, these girls that would go overboard and then would get, you know, left or whatever, they start doing, I call them twat cams. They started doing webcam work, making $5 a minute where you showed your business off. And guys would come in there and, you know, do whatever, schmoes and muscle worship and all of that.
Wasn't the bodybuilding world ahead of the curve on the webcam thing?
Oh yeah.
That was going on. That was going on behind the scenes way before the whole like webcam thing got big.
Right. And then there comes, are there some things that are reversible? Yeah. When they just start, but when they settle in, it's not reversible. But now, luckily in this day and age, people will go and get laser hair removal, you know, fillers in their face and, but you can't do much about your business down there, you know, and you can get vocal cord surgery, I think, and make your voice sound a little bit better. I don't know, but that's a lot to do all because you decided to follow someone's guidance that didn't have your best interest at heart. And not to mention some of these girls are doing it way young. I mean, their hormonal, biochemistry isn't even complete and perfected yet. And, you know, and so with that said, I just ask females to please, first and foremost, know why you're doing it. What's your end game? Is this something where you could be a pro? And like on the last podcast I was on, you know, you can look at someone and if they have, and this kind of got some, I wouldn't say backlash, but it was like, whoa, she said that. If you have a smaller shit body and you give it drugs, you're just going to have a bigger shit body. So if you don't have the potential to have an amazing, you know, world beating physique, then what are you doing this for? What is this for? And what is your end outcome? Do you want to have children? You know, your reproductive system gets hit on that. What is worth it to you? What if you go into work and where you work is a professional firm or what have you, and they're like, your voice is out of control, or you know, they're getting backlash from you. So with that said, girls need to sit down, take a real good look at their physique, hire a coach that is moral compass is on point and that can guide you properly and won't bullshit you. You know, keep it real. And you know, go over the compounds that they could possibly think about taking. And say this could happen. And if this does happen, like every check-in, ask them, is your clit tingling? Are you having to do facial hair removal a little bit more? I'm listening to your voice. Let me look at your skin. You know, look at all of the sides. I'm not looking at your business, but with that said, they have to ask the questions. You know, even Jamie says that she had really thick hair growing on her chest. I mean, if you're shaving that as a coach, I'm not going to see that. You got to be open and tell your coach if you're having these sides. But I think sometimes girls, when they get into this, they're like, oh my God, I'm getting so much attention. You know, my glutes are popping and my shoulders are popping. Everybody's like, wow. And they just get into this glam side of it and they're not realizing, Dusty and I said, their face is getting trashed. And their voice sounds like, you know, their grandpa's. So I think it behooves them to find someone that is reputable, that has their best interest at heart. Basically, if you hire a coach, you have to trust them with your life. That's it.
Yeah.
With your life. And that has to do with your life as, you know, exterior, physical realm, internal organs. And I hate to say it, but there's not a lot of coaches or, you know, prep coaches out there that you can trust. I don't think that. And that's, you know, And I've told Steve this as well. Steve is my only, you know, big name client, because, and trust me, I've been hit up repeatedly to some other bigger names. I'm not about it. I'm not.
Right.
Be able to work. You got to be able to work, first of all. And secondly, if you tell me the things you've done, and they've included some compounds that I think are ludicrous, LMP being one of them, I'll never take you on, ever.
Mm-hmm. And did you say DNP?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things like that. I'm not a fan of insulin. I don't think you put dice on your pancreas. I know some people are getting into microdosing it and things like that, but it's just not my bag. It's not something I care to deal with. I don't like strict, you know, hardcore loop diuretics. I'm not a fan of that. So things of that nature, if you've pushed all that and you know it works for you, go find another coach that will do that with you. And the majority of the bigger guys these days, that's what they do. That's part of it. And so with that said, you know, you got to trust your coach with your life, and you've got to always think longevity is your end game.
What's the plan right now? You know, obviously with the season kind of on hold, and, you know, I mean, obviously I'm sure that you're hoping Steve's going to be on stage at the Olympia.
Yes, I hope.
So you're just got to go forward as planned right now.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for him to make the call. Let me know if we have to go back to Indy, but Indy, I believe, has been moved. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's really those touch and go. Presently, I have got some amateur girls that I'm taking to his show, which is the Kuklo Classic. And that's in 8 weeks. And
but he's already qualified for the O, right?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Didn't top five qualify him?
I thought top five at the Arnold.
I don't think
and
so.
And the Olympia too, no?
Points.
Yeah.
Talking to me about point system.
I thought the Arnold still had the group qualify.
Let me know. I don't know.
Might just be the winner. Fuck. Well,
I'll ask him, because I thought that we had to go and.
Yeah, you might be right.
The points are win, because that we get into the Olympia. I mean, he won the Indy. So. Yeah,
right. I think maybe the Arnold is just more points. Right. That's
a very good question. I'll find out. I just figured we'd need to do that. And then now with all the shit going on.
It also might be a situation where I heard someone else talking about they might have to do a bunch of special invites because of all the canceled shows
in order
to stack the Olympia back to where it should be, right? So they might just re-invite, you know, everyone from last year.
Yeah.
Because, like, fucking all the shows are canceled, you know, like that sort of shit, right? So it's possible.
Okay.
You
know, he'll be better each time. He'll be better.
Yeah.
Every time. But right now, I think he's enjoying some good downtime, and that new vet of his. Have y'all seen that?
Yeah.
God, I was like, don't kill yourself in that.
It's funny. I'm not into those types of cars, because I find the getting in and out of them is just like, nah.
you know you're old when that's how we think. We're like, I got to get out of that.
I'm like, I want something that I can just sort of step into and then just sort of step out of without having to bend my sore legs very often, you know?
What do you have? Do you have a truck?
I drive a Grand Cherokee.
Okay. Ooh, that's, what's the one with that horsepower? Track.
Oh, the Trackhawk, the new Trackhawk. Trackhawk one.
I insist you get that. Let me know how.
I insist you spend $125,000. Go get done.
Do it. You can get used.
$75,000 is not an appropriate amount to spend on a vehicle, even though you drive 5 minutes a day.
Right.
He does live about 2 miles from his gym in his house.
Yeah, I live 2 miles from the gym.
Jesse, what do you drive?
I have just a Lexus little. They call it an SUV, but it's essentially a taller car. It's a RX 350.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. RX, so yeah.
It's got beautiful suburbia written all over it.
It screams soccer mom. What's funny is I literally I'm like, you know, I've gotten old when it's like, well, I like the automatic back because I can get my groceries in easily.
And I used to drive the Lexus LX. And I love that vehicle. It was air suspension ride. It was super cool. It's like
it's got every little.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's got every little thing. That was the only thing the guy was like, because I bought. He's like, which one do you want? I'm like, the one with every single option. He was like, okay. Yeah.
Funny, I was looking at moving up to like a 2020 Grand Cherokee just recently, and then the world kind of exploded. So I'm sort of glad I didn't take that on.
Right. No, and Jeeps, man, they hold their value and they're freaking expensive.
Mine's pretty old, but I drive the fuck out of vehicles. I drive them till they're not even worth anything, and then I get another one. So I do. Yeah.
Drive it till the wheels fall off. I love it.
Dusty likes to upgrade every year and a half so we can, you know, keep up with the Joneses.
I'm a child. That's a problem. I bought a truck. I bought a 4Runner a couple years ago, and I was like, I love it. I'm keeping this car forever. I'm driving it around. I'm like, shiny. Shit. Shiny got me again.
It'll happen.
I got to have my bad decisions.
Yeah. So, Gina, we really appreciate it. I just realized we've had you for like an hour and 20 minutes.
Lied to her completely.
you might be our longest guest. I'm not sure if we've had anybody on this long. Listen, so we appreciate your time.
I'm about breaking records, so I'll do that.
Yes.
For sure.
We love that. You're part of the team.
I'll meet you guys in person. I'll train you. Let me train you.
I'd love it.
Yes.
I'd love it.
Only,
I'll do
only
anything.
If we can video my death.
No. I'll do anything once, and if I like it, I'll do it multiple times.
Come on, then.
Love it.
Awesome. All right.
Just let everyone know, just kind of if we have a final kind of, you know, where can people find you? We want to make sure your Instagram's right and everything. So just let us know.
It's a G-Force Training. And I believe the ending is an underscore, but it's all together. G-Force Training. And that's really the best way to find me is there. And just don't be a weirdo.
I'm out.
She keeps blocking me. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, she keeps saying stuff that's directed at you, Dusty. I don't know.
I know. You know, she like looked right at the camera. I felt like it was right to me.
you just be good. You be good over there.
He's done rather well. I was expecting to have to make more timestamps.
Okay. And I want a mutant cap like Dusty's.
Oh, so, goddamn. Dusty will hook you up. Dusty can send an email and make that arrive in your mail.
Yeah, red and black is what I want.
Okay. There we go. Well, it matches your gear.
Okay, good to meet you. Yeah.
All right, thanks. See you later.
Appreciate it. All right, peace out.
Bye.
Y'alls.
That was awesome.
She was awesome.
Yeah. Hey,
good.
As promised.
Yeah, good work, Dusty, getting her to come on the show. I don't know what you told her, talk her into it, but.
I told you you'd be here and I was off today.
Oh,
I was like, I'm actually very sick, so I cannot do it. We need you. And then she turned it on. It was like, so you're done. Because I also let her know that as soon as she logged in and we were live.
Right. There you go.
I said, you and Ron will be live. So no bailing out once you start. And
she was a professional, handled it well. It's funny how you had that long list of questions for her. And I don't really think we even
didn't have to. Not a single one.
Yeah.
That's what I like, though, is she just ran with it. But in a way that, you know, I had messaged her and told her like why I really wanted her on. And it's because I love I hate to even say this, cause it's so dumb in this world, but like I personally know a lot of very, very good trainers that are women that also train men. And, but people just don't understand that. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's kind of like that thing. You don't have to be, you know, a male to know how to function one. You don't need how to, you know, I've never done bikini, but I can train a bikini girl.
Right.
I don't, but right. You know, it's just one of those things. Yeah. So, and I found what I love and I didn't realize, which I was trying not to stomp in with, oh, I thought that too, because it didn't matter, was I remember when Steve flatlined a little bit. And I say flatlined because he never regressed. But it was when he did, I remember having conversations with Dante about, man, why don't I see him squatting anymore?
Right.
Why don't I see him just, and Steve's a smart trainer and he's a hard trainer, but he's one of those dudes. He's strong every muscle.
Yeah.
Press, pull, whatever. And I saw him just kind of pinky twisting and shit. And I was like, what? So it's funny that was her in with him. And it's not that he didn't know how to work, or that he wasn't working hard. It's that he just, I think, same thing that Manny
Just got distracted.
Ran into, well, there's shiny shit. And yeah. I hear that works really good. And I see a lot of that going on, even with that like newbie machine you see all the time now in the gyms.
Yeah.
I think it absolutely has a purpose. I use one. But when I see people using it for every workout and forgetting to kick the shit out of themselves, I'm like, you're forgetting.
You're forgetting. I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I think there's a time and place for it. And I saw quite a few people, and I saw people who advanced on it, like a Dexter Jackson, who used it when needed, and Brad helped him out and when to use that thing, and then when to just go balls to the wall, like always, yeah. You know? And I think that just happens across the board. It's the same thing we've talked about before. You're a low volume guy, but there's points in your career where you started adding shit and you don't really know why.
Yeah, you know? And then maybe I even got some gains out of it because it was a good switch.
Shock. Yep.
But then you go, well, add a bit more, and then all of a sudden the gains are stopped because now you know, you're past the shock point, and now you're just, you know, mentally masturbating.
Yep.
And yeah, it's easy because sometimes you do something different and it does work.
Oh, for sure.
But you forget that everything's, you know, just causing a new adaptation, and now you're adapted, and now this is no longer serving
well,
you.
It's like there's a time and place for things, right? Like
yeah.
you could really, and it's something, you know, with clients, like I ask them to tell me anything that they ever do, because it's very possible that I've got you on a diet and you're flat as a fucking pancake. You break and cheat on your diet tonight. You send me pictures tomorrow, which are better now.
Right.
And I leave your diet alone because I don't know about the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
But if
you had
a cheeseburger 3 nights in a row, shit would start to go sideways and get worse. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's that same thing, like, and on the reverse, don't think because you cheated on your diet and ate some, you know, chocolate chip cookies that was a good decision just because the next day you were full.
Right.
It was still a fuck up.
Sure.
You just had a lucky moment that it looked okay. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You happened to be, you know, you could have just as easily not been flat enough for it to be okay.
Yep.
You know, and it, yeah, I know what you mean. She was great. The thing that I, you know, all the guests that we've had on are, you know, people that I know.
Right.
So that was the first time I'd never met her before. So I was like, oh, you know, Dusty might have to really help run this one. And, you know, I might have to refer to him for all the questions. And then we didn't even use the questions. And I felt like
I just handed her the ball in the beginning.
Yeah. And by 5 minutes in, I felt like we were buddies. So yeah, she's super cool. But, it's a good story. You know, I Steve has been, we talked about how he got better, and it's neat to see, you know, hear the story. It's neat to hear the story of how, you know, he wound up kind of choosing her.
Right.
You know, You're kicking the shit out of guys. And it comes down to like, she earned his respect.
Yep.
And you have to respect your trainer or someone helping you if, you know, and that's where it comes down to the fact, you know, not only did he just respect her because she was kicking the shit out of people in the gym, but she's also an IFBB pro, so he knows she went through it herself. Mm-hmm. You know, he probably looked at her pictures. He knows she's been shredded. He knows what she knows what it takes. You know, like all that stuff adds up. And finding a coach that you trust and respect is very, very important. You know, I hear people all the time like, yeah, my coach told me to eat this, but, you know, like, I don't know. I know my body pretty good.
Right.
And it's like, then don't waste his time. And don't give him money because you're wasting your money and you're wasting his time. And most coaches, I know me, I don't want your money if you're not going to listen to me. I'll be okay.
No. I tell people all the time. I had a guy just recently. You'll love this, Ron. I send an email to every client gets the exact same email that says check-ins at the top of it. When I send all their first things, it explains what I need from check-ins, the fact that we are online and communication is everything. But I tell them the communication is this. I need your pictures every 5 days. If you don't send them, I won't call. I won't do this or that. But if you want to check in more often, if you've got questions, there's 7 days a week and you can email me whenever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
So I had a guy, pay, gets rolling. 2 weeks into it, I get an email with no pictures that says, as you can see, I'm not really big on communication, but here's what's happened so far. So what do I do next? And I said, I re-forwarded that email in there. And I said, read this again. And if you don't want to do this, you're wasting my time and your money. I haven't heard from him ever again. Because it doesn't work. It's not, I mean, it's not respect. It's not nothing. It just doesn't work. So don't waste your time, you know, I got, you know, you got your money's worth, you got your plan for the initial one, and I got everything I was promised. So no bad blood, but this is just stupid. Let's move forward and call it a day, because you're also my business card.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got so a bunch of clients out there that aren't listening to you, walking around saying that you're their coach, but you know, they don't really listen to you, and you know, that's the last thing you want.
You know? So it's got to be done right. And that's when it's fun for everybody and you get the results.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that she touched on, but I hope people caught is, and we've all heard this, a shitty trainer go, I fucked him up on leg day. Anyone can fuck you up. I mean, a guy who's been a trainer for a week can kick the shit out of me in the gym by just telling me a crazy ass workout. It's intensity and intelligence married. There's a reason she did what she did, and it's working. You know what I mean? So she's combining, again, much like everyone we've got on here, but the foundation is the basics. It's hardcore. It's heavy, like she said. And then you bring in her systems that obviously work. But I think that's the thing that I hope everyone caught is she kicked the shit out of him with a reason. And that's why when he was beat up, he was like, he knew this is going to work.
And it's also obviously he's developed at the level where she can do anything to him.
Yeah. And well, she said that I can't break him.
I can't break him.
She was talking mentally, physically. Yeah. Every single way. And I think that's another genetic trait. And it's funny because I've never delved into where someone comes from, but I get that. Like, because I'm sure I get it all the time. How does your back do, you know, heavy rows one day and RDLs the next? It just does.
Right.
I don't write all my clients' programs that way.
Right.
A lot of them can't. But it's, I never actually sat back and said, where do I come from? Who? And now when I do that in my brain, I'm like, well, same thing. My dad never worked out and he was a fucking beast, just a big ass man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's actually, it was cool to get those little gems and go, oh, something to think about.
Yeah. And then a good trainer also knows when he has someone who's not ready to be destroyed.
Yep.
You know, like I had a guy that I put through a workout, just a while ago and, realized I went a little, like pushed him a little harder than he was ready for. You know what I mean? Little harder than he was ready for. He wasn't able to complete everything. Like he was, you know, we're doing the leg curls at the end and he couldn't, he was just fucked. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. You know, next time I train him, I'll hold back a little bit. So the next time I trained him, paced him a little bit more, got him through the workout, all the sets. He worked pretty hard. You know, I did pull back on, there's no forced reps. You know, we just made sure, cleaned it up a little bit. And then he mentally advanced because of that. Cause now he completed the workout.
Yeah, to win.
He had a win. So now he's like, fuck. And then the next day his legs were sore and he fucking felt good. And so you got to build people up too, you know? And like you said, anyone can destroy someone. It's not fucking hard. Let's do 100 sets of squats.
Yep.
You know, let's just superset everything, you know, like it's not hard. Like the Navy SEAL workout would kick my ass, but it wouldn't make me any bigger.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to, you know, if they work,
there's gonna be a reason for everything. You know what I mean? Cause I see that a lot of times too with, you know, like people who do deep tissue massage and stuff. Hurting me doesn't mean you're making me better.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I like, yeah, like I remember I've had a few people, they're like, oh, I kicked his ass. I'm like, well, A, I let you because I was laying there. Number two, like, let's just, a couple things here. But it's great if whipping my ass makes me better.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a dangerous line that some people don't do a very good job of explaining like she did, which is I kick your ass with a reason.
Yeah,
for advancing versus just beating you up. And also, like she said too, is how you coach people. Like, you can berate me. That'll just get more out of me. It's okay, and I won't be mad. I don't have feelings. So that's okay. But other people, you know, you do have those clients where you want to go, what the fuck, man? And you say, well, you know, man, you made a mistake, but we're going to move. You know what I mean? Like, it's different for everybody. I do have clients that go, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know better. Send. Like,
yeah.
Because that's how they respond. They're like me. It's like, because then they take that and they're like, God damn it. They're not mad at me. They're mad at themselves. You know, where other people, they'd quit. I'll pay you this amount of money to pick on me. Okay.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's very, very cool, man. I'm stoked on it. And I think it's just as beneficial for guys as girls. We just touched on the one little thing at the end because it was something I hopes that Scott, what I want to make sure we do when we do the picture is a picture of what she looked like competing and now, so you can see that it's the same woman. She was right. just fucking jacked.
Yeah. Like she said, though, here's the key, too. You know, everyone trying to make a poodle into a Rottweiler. She yep. said she was always a heavyweight. She was a yep. heavyweight without any muscle. Mm-hmm. She was always a heavyweight. She like so, you know, sometimes people are trying to force their body to be something that it's not ever going to be. Yep. And they're much better off to try to be the best version of them. You yep. know, like, you know, take a guy like Sean Clarita.
Yep.
You know, he is successful and repeatedly improves because he understands what he has.
Yep.
And if he was trying to be, you know, the next Branch, maybe he'd have blown his waist out mm-hmm. and fucked up his back and done this or that. You know what I mean? But he knows that he's got, you know, the smallest frame in the game.
Great
muscle bellies, tiniest joints in the entire pro league.
Yep.
And he works with that. And that's why he's so fucking good. And
yeah, people get away from that. Like, you remember when Jay, very controversially won his third Arnold, with Dexter, where he came down real small.
Yeah.
And the play in his head was Dexter's Dex coming.
Was it Dex or Cormier?
I don't even know if I remember. It might have been the Olympian now that I think about it. But one of the shows where he came in noticeably smaller, shredded.
It was an Arnold,
small,
I think.
Yeah. He was thinking about what his competition had.
Right.
And it's like, well, just eclipse them like you always do.
Right. Just be Jay. You're already beating everyone.
You know, and it's funny. Like, you know, and of course, it's one of those things where, and you don't know how it got there, but that was a mistake, is you stay focused on what you have. And you bring that because your best you gives you the best result. Yep. I don't care what. That's why I get a little nervous at some of the smaller shows and clients. Like, I'm going to talk to the judges. I'm like, I'd rather you don't.
Yeah, I tell people, people say, I'm going to ask the judges what they think. And I'm like, we don't need to. You already know. You have to get bigger, leaner, bigger legs, yep. bigger arms, bigger back. What do you want me to tell you? I could tell you everything you need to do. Like, yeah. you're already paying me. Why don't you just let me answer all the questions for you? Yeah.
I'm going to save you an email, and those are expensive.
Yeah. Okay, Dusty. You know the deal. I've got a full liter in my bladder now, so we're gonna have to hit the road.
Just gotta empty it. Yeah. Until next time, and I think I'll let you know here, but I think we'll have another guest next week.
Okay, so two guests in a row. Yeah, I'm hoping so. It'd be great. A lot of fun.
No doubt, buddy.
Take care in the crisis, and keep your spirits up, and stay hopeful for the situation.
Absolutely. Likewise. And to everyone here, man, keep jamming. Don't let this be a reason to fall off your shit. Like, you know, you may not advance as quickly as you'd like to, but you can still advance. I do understand the reason of maybe considering shows and this and that, but your plan, your diet, your training, you need to do the most you can with it. Because I promise you guys, when this comes back out, it's going to show in the next season who took this time off. And had a meltdown. And
another thing too is, like, guys, I know everyone's kind of scared and tight for money right now, but just think about all the money you were spending shit on a month ago, right? Going out to eat here and there, blah, 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 blah. Think about that, add it up in your head, and immediately go spend that on gym equipment. Like, get adjustable dumbbells, get a bunch of bands, get an easy curl bar, get some plates. Like, if you have a garage, fuck, if you can get a squat rack, like start thinking like that. People are like, oh, you know, I guess for the next couple of weeks, we won't be training. It might be till May. It might be till June. Can you imagine?
Yep. And yeah, they got those adjustable ones I sent to a client. They go up to like 130 pounds.
Oh, did you see the ones I bought?
Fucking thing. I'm like,
did you see the power blocks I bought?
If you can get me an adjustable bench with that, I can get you a workout.
So I thought I sent you the picture of the ones I bought.
No.
Oh, I found.
You bought those.
I bought the 127.5 pound power blocks.
Yep.
And they're being delivered today. I had them couriered in from another city because I found them on Craigslist. They're impossible to find right now because they're just snatched up, right? If you go on the Power Blocks website, they're 6 to 9 weeks behind on production and they're not taking orders.
Yeah, because they know.
And if you go on, you know, online and try to find them on the, you know, the Craigslist and all those sites, they're just picked up, man. Like, you could find them, they go to 50, they go to 70, but like the heavy ones are gone.
Right.
And I got lucky and found a set in Canada And I had him drop them off at my buddy's house, and he threw them on the truck and shipped them out to me.
Nice.
So they cost me some money. I mean, they're expensive. But you know, if we get locked in our house, I'm going to be set. I'm going to have an adjustable bench, an easy bar, and 127.5-pound dumbbells.
Right.
So I can do everything. Bulgarian split squats, walking lunges, fucking, you know, I can do whatever I need for legs. Elevated heel dumbbell squats, you know.
Yeah. No, there's all sorts literally of shit. Endless shit you can do. That's the thing. And I'm fortunate because, you know, I've had all of my clients as their gyms disappeared and stuff. What do we do now? Like they, I'm lucky, man. Right now, I've just got the people who understand that they're not letting this slow down their process.
Or like you said, get one of the good Bowflexes that have the upgraded tension on them. You can get them up to 410 pounds worth of bows. Yep. And I would really strongly suggest. I know it, like I said, the money thing. People are like, I don't want to spend $600 or whatever. But just think, well, you're going to spend $50 on dinner next weekend, and you're going to spend, you know, $50 at the movies. That's $100 there. You're already up to $100. You know, just sort of think about all this stuff you're not going to be doing. That concert you're not going to. And you might have $500 sitting there all of a sudden.
Well, plus you're going to have your mental sanity. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, it's a lot of people I'm talking to. They're
want to give that up.
Because we're really trying here. And I mean, I don't know how I can express this better with what I do, but I see truthfully in an average day, I see three people that are within any distance of me because I literally am here by myself all day. Yeah. And then I drive to the gym, which is closed, and I have a training partner and a video guy. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to everyone. I don't know if you saw yet, but we have a new hashtag for Mutant Home Gym.
Yep.
And we're doing a contest. Everyone just tag your home gym. And some of the stuff people are tagging me in are fucking awesome. Like this guy just built a gym out of 2x4s. I had another client build a home gym out of 2x4s without even, he didn't even have a tape measure. So he's just eyeballing everything, boom, drilling it together.
Right.
And the one guy welded a squat rack on Instagram, fucking made it himself. Really impressive with what people are doing. It's awesome. I like it because I know that if I was in that situation, I would do the same thing. I would be coming up with something, doing something.
Yep.
Except I'd probably be like trying to pay somebody to let me in somewhere. That's more my angle.
You know me.
Yeah. Yep,
for sure, man.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
No doubt.
Okay. Remember, everybody, it's just bodybuilding.